I can still see the poster on my mother's kitchen wall. When she redesigned the kitchen to accommodate more children, the poster stayed right where it was for years. And for years, that framed quote watched over us at the kitchen counter. It said, "Bloom where you are planted." Remember that? That quote was really kind of an in thing for many years. I've not seen it much anymore. I looked it up to find out where it came from. It was attributed to a bishop who lived way back in the late 16th and early 17th centuries, St. Francis de Sales. Bloom where you are planted. Well, the question that precedes this quote and the question that Jeremiah asks us to consider today is this: where are you planted? Jeremiah was a prophet over 500 years before the birth of Christ. A prophet in those days did not speak on his own behalf, but he spoke on behalf of God, who anointed him to be a prophet. Jeremiah witnessed the destruction of the first temple in Jerusalem, the one that had been built by the great King Solomon. He saw the capture of his country people and their removal to Babylon to be in exile. His prophecy job was to warn the people, to warn the leaders, the religious leaders, and the political leaders of Judah, which is the southern part of the country, that they had forgotten the high moral and religious standards they'd inherited from King Solomon. That he warned them that they were descending into worship idols, idolatry, and into moral and spiritual depravity. He said, "You've strayed far from the worship of the one God, and the end of that story, if you don't change your ways, is going to be destruction of all you hold dear." Jeremiah's words were not heeded by the people he was called to warn. They were very vulnerable to armies from outside, and indeed, after a time of great violence in that region, the death of many people, they became the people of exile, taken far away to Babylon, living there for generations, many of them never seeing their homeland again. Their temple had been destroyed, the center of their universe was gone. Like good prophets, and like Jesus hundreds of years later, Jeremiah used images that his audience would know from their everyday lives. The stark difference between the life of a shrub that has taken root in a desolate desert and the life of a tree that has found a home rooted in a green and fertile place, drawing water from a living stream. The shrub clinging to life in the desert represents the people following charismatic but false leaders whose path will lead them to destruction and death. The tree planted by water represents people who remember God. They hold on to their faith even in times of worry and drought. God speaks to both of these groups of people. "I know you. I love you. I know your heart," God says. "You can count on me always to give you what you need for life, for love, and for a future of faith." God intimately knows us and eternally cares for us. Where are we planted? The team of Calvary parishioners who are involved in the management and the work of the Log College Grant for Youth Renewal that we've received from Princeton have been working since the fall, and so far we've completed two big involved tasks this year. We've got two more to come. The second task that we did back right before Christmas was to explore what we thought the top 10 challenges are that young people face today, and then just to discover together what we believe the greatest of these challenges was. After exploring things like mental illness and gun violence, poverty, poor access to the political system, and poor access to higher education. After looking at bullying and anxiety, fear of violence in school, and just generalized fear, the one challenge that we identified as critically important to us, our group, and we believe to Calvary, is lack of connection. That's what we came back to over and over again. Lack of connection. The lack of connection for young people leads to so many other challenges. Humans are meant to live in community with neighbors and with families and with friends and even with people we don't know very well who pass us in the street, people who challenge us and take us to places in our hearts and minds that we would never go without the great diversity of humanity. Lack of connection leads to isolation, which can lead to depression and so many other issues that cause sorrow and despair. A shrub whose roots struggle to find sustenance in the desert is not in a community. It's isolated, left to fend for itself against the harsh sun and the blowing winds until it dies, malnourished and empty. The tree planted by the living water takes comfort and life from the other trees around it and from the shrubs there and from the flowers, from the birds who live in its branches and the animals who find shelter in its shade, all the way to the bugs under the earth who live there in the decaying leaves and in the water. We know, there have been a couple of great books written recently about this, we know from today's science that trees need other trees to survive, that their root systems feed on one another. They're such living organisms, but they cannot either exist in isolation. The need for connection and for living in community is not optional. It is requisite for healthy children, for healthy adults, and for a healthy world. God has created us to be in relationship with God and with one another. In a community like Calvary, and I've seen this happen so many times, within our relationships, powerful good happens. By ourselves, all alone, we can do hardly anything. But with a community of love enfolding us, we're unstoppable in making this world into the place that God dreamed it could be. The good news is that no matter where you are planted, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you're a member of a huge clan or a tiny family, or your family are your dogs and your cats and your friends, no matter if you find yourself feeling isolated and worried, anxious even in the midst of a great crowd, the good news is you're not alone. God sees your heart and yearns to draw you toward relationship and toward love and toward help. A shrub in the desert or a tree by the water can't move from their spots. They're stuck there. But with God's help, we can move. We can move, we can reach out to one another, and we can change. Our hearts belong to God, and God will give us what we need. No matter where you are planted, God desires you to thrive and to love and to be loved. So before we can bloom where we are planted, we just need to know where we are planted. Jeremiah, so long ago, was explicit with his audience that fertile soil for good and right relationship was rooted in God. That first relationship, the one between us and our creation and God, is the genesis of everything else that follows. Firmly planted with God and in our faith, we can explore and listen and wonder about the ways that God is providing for us in our lives here in Calvary and outside to find community. Persistently rooted with God, God stands with us in the droughts and in the winds, the snow, the deluges and the times of sun and warmth. We have the faith and the courage then, when we are rooted, to open our hearts to the one who has promised to give us everything we need for life. Wherever you are planted, raise your head. Look around. See who is with you there. Take a look at the landscape. What's the weather like? Where is your companionship? What are your challenges? And what are your possibilities? Can you bloom there? When God sees your heart, what does God see? Whatever God sees, God is with you. Amen.